From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, May 8th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listener support and by Modern Pest Services, committed to taking an intelligent approach to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
A man in his 60s from Hancock County with COVID-19 has died. Maine Center for Disease Control Director Dr. Nirav Shah says the total number of people with the illness who have died in the state is now 63. During a briefing today, Shah also announced another resident at the Springbrook Center Nursing Home in Westbrook has tested positive for COVID-19.
There is now an additional case, bringing the total number of cases at the Springbrook Center to 14, 13 residents and one staff member in total.
Shah also noted that a total of 296 healthcare workers in Maine have contracted COVID-19, accounting for more than 20% of all cases. The Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration's investigating three complaints about safety and health standards related to barbershops in Maine during the pandemic. News of the investigations comes a week after barbershops and hair salons were allowed to open under the first phase of the state's reopening plan. The shops must adhere to state guidelines, including seeing clients by appointment only and requiring employees to wear gloves and face masks. Some shops have voiced concerns about reopening and their ability to meet the state's protocols. An OSHA spokesperson offered few details on the investigations in Maine, but said in an email that workers have legal rights to a safe workplace under the Occupational Safety and Health Act. This includes being provided required protective gear. The agency says the investigations could take up to 6 months to complete. And if you want to see the night sky in its pristine dark glory, you could go to Antarctica. But if you can't, the International Dark Sky Association says the next best place is Maine's Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument. The state's newest federal park has won designation as an International Dark Sky Sanctuary. Andrew Bossy, executive director of the group Friends of the Katahdin Woods and Waters.
We've already known that the Katahdin region is a wonderful place to visit in all four seasons. But what this does is say that there's 24-hour activities that you can do to enjoy the great outdoors here in Maine. And we're really excited to keep sharing that with the world.
Bossy says Katahdin Woods and Waters is just the 12th location on the planet to win the Dark Sky Sanctuary designation. He says it's the only one in the eastern United States. In weather tonight, overcast with rain along the coast and some snow mixing in everywhere but southern New York County. Overnight lows tonight in the high 20s to low 40s. Tomorrow, snow in the north, more in the mountains. Alternating rain and snow west and central, heavy rain down east. Now that the state has an agreement to increase testing for COVID-19, Maine Governor Janet Mills has made some changes to her plan to allow Maine businesses to reopen. Her revised plan will allow restaurants and retail stores to reopen with new safety restrictions, but it will only apply to mostly rural areas of the state. Steve Missler has details.
The governor's updated plan will allow dine-in service at restaurants to begin May 18th and retail stores to reopen on Monday, but only in 12 of Maine's 16 counties. She's calling it her rural reopening plan.
That is aimed at reopening certain additional businesses in more rural parts of our state over the next several weeks.
The governor says the revamped plan is designed to allow more economic activity in counties where COVID-19 is believed to be less prevalent than it is in Cumberland, York, Androscoggin, and Penobscot counties, where confirmed cases are higher and where the virus has spread via community transmission. Retail stores in the other 12 counties can reopen as long as they limit the number of customers based on a 6-tier sliding scale of a store's square footage. For example, a retail store with at least 7,500 square feet can have 5 customers at a time beginning Monday. Stores between 12,000 and 18,000 square feet can have 35 customers at a time, and they must be at least 6 feet apart while standing in line at checkout. Restaurants in those same counties will be allowed to open May 18th, provided staff take certain precautions, such as wearing face masks, frequently washing hands, and replacing paper menus with laminated ones that could be cleaned after each use.
And to space out occupied tables at least 6 feet apart. This isn't going to be easy.
Mills said the changes were prompted by discussions with business owners and trade associations, as well as an agreement her administration announced Thursday that could triple the state's testing capacity for COVID-19. Public health officials believe that new capacity will allow them to better track and contain the outbreak, identify clusters should any emerge, and effectively replace statewide restrictions with plans targeted to specific regions.
If we find those clusters, and they are significant, and they increase our positivity rate to levels that we see like Boston or New York or Chicago, that will give us pause.
Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says the increased testing could yield more confirmed cases, even in the counties that are currently showing very few. If that happens and clusters or community transmission are identified, then Shah says the loosening of business restrictions set to begin Monday could be reversed.
We go into this expanded testing capacity eyes wide open. We know that when we look for things, we may find them, but we also know that we've got a plan in place for if or when we detect those new cases.
Several of the rural counties share borders with four counties with community transmission and higher case counts. The governor says there's no restriction on travel between counties, but people should continue to use caution and stay home when possible.
Just because a store is open or a restaurant 10 miles down the road is open doesn't mean you have to go there.
The governor says the same applies to business owners nervous about reopening. They shouldn't do it if they don't think they can do it safely. As for retailers and restaurants in Maine's four more densely populated counties, they'll likely have to wait to open until at least June 1st. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And Maine retailers and restaurant owners in the counties that will be allowed to reopen are welcoming today's announcement, even with the restrictions. Fred Bever has that story.
Retailers in Maine counties with low rates of infection with the novel coronavirus are cheering Governor Mills' announcement today that as of Monday, they are back in business with certain restrictions.
My initial reaction is, yay, let's go.
Andy Stewart is co-owner of Lisa Marie's Made in Maine with locations in Bath and Portland. Under the governor's new guidance, retail stores in more rural counties where there is not community transmission of COVID-19 will be able to open on Monday. That includes Androscoggin, where Bath is located, but not in Portland. Stewart says he'd like to get the Portland location open as well, but he understands the governor's reasoning and will take what he can get.
We have been paying our employees right along. It hurts. But it's the right thing to do. And that's why I'm so ecstatic to get open again, so we can try to stem the bleeding a little bit.
Mills also says restaurants in the low caseload counties will be able to open May 18th. Nina Barifaldi St. Germain owns the Jack Russell Steakhouse in Bar Harbor.
And I am so grateful for the trust that's being given to us and for the opportunity to demonstrate how seriously we take this responsibility. I know at Jack Russell's, we are a little bit nervous about it, and we are going to take the time we need to make sure that we do it right, because we need to, and I think that many in the business community here feel the exact same way.
She adds, though, that with a 5,000-square-foot restaurant, she may have more flexibility than smaller establishments that could have a difficult time meeting guidelines for customer separation and frequent table cleanings. And she says that although restaurants may be able to open soon, a requirement that non-Maine visitors must quarantine in place for 14 days after arriving in the state could effectively keep many clients away until July or later and reduce the number of times that she can turn a table.
Mainers won't be able to pay my mortgage, but it is an opportunity to prepare and to figure out how to do it well. So when that vital tourist comes in, we will be able to do two turns or three turns. That's my hope anyway. That's my optimistic view.
And many in the retail and hospitality industry say that government has been too slow to reopen the state's economy and that some of its decisions don't make sense in the real world. Joe Christopher owns several inns and restaurants around the state and a whitewater rafting outfit too.
Even as of June 1st, I can have 50 people in a restaurant with social distancing, but they have disallowed whitewater rafting, an outdoor activity, so I can't take a family of six from Maine whitewater rafting, but I can have 50 people in a restaurant.
That kind of contradiction, he says, is frustrating. Christopher adds that he's had to lay off more than 260 workers, and he's doubtful that he can open his restaurants that are in the low COVID counties and still turn a profit, but he says he will try all the same. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And for more than 100 years, kids have flocked to summer camps in Maine to play in the woods, swim in a lake, forge new friendships, and find a little freedom from their lives back home. But the new coronavirus is casting a cloud of uncertainty over how sleepaway camps might operate this summer, if at all. As camp directors plan for possible scenarios, some parents are holding out hope that this formative experience for kids can be preserved even during a pandemic. Patty White has our story.
We've all had to adapt to changes prompted by the new coronavirus, wearing masks, quarantines, physical distancing. But how might these changes apply to summer camps? That's something that's cycling through many camp directors' minds, including Peter Slavensky, as he walks on a wooded path on the grounds of Slavensky Camps. It's a co-ed camp perched on the shores of Panther Pond in Raymond. The trail ends at a grassy athletic field.
This is our field, and we play a lot of great games out here, but social distancing would be really tough in the field games. We have Capture the Flag, where we run and tag kids, and I guess kids could start running, and if you get within 6 feet of a kid, you're tagged.
How to run field games while maintaining social distancing is one of the countless questions that Slavensky asks himself as he considers Governor Janet Mills' four-stage plan to reopen the economy.
Our first view of the guidelines is that they're going to be very challenging for a summer camp to open and maybe even impossible.
Kids who go to Slavensky Camp sign up for one-week sessions, and about half come from out of state. Under Mills' current plan, those campers would need to quarantine for 14 days as soon as they enter Maine. And gatherings of 50 or more people are prohibited throughout the summer. Slavensky says he usually has 100 campers at each session.
Very, very few summer camps are small enough to gather only 50 people. You've got staff and campers, so that would be something like a camp of 40 campers and 10 staff members. The economics of that are really going to be tough.
Slavensky isn't the only one who's worried. Ron Hall is the executive director of Maine Summer Camps, which represents more than 140 licensed youth camps in Maine, about 70% of which are overnight. He says the camp directors and owners he's spoken to are stressed.
They're worried about their campers. They're worried about their finances. They're worried about what's going to happen this summer.
Even though camps operate just 8 weeks out of the year, they have fixed expenses 12 months of the year. And lost tuitions not only affect camps, but the state. Hall says camps contribute $200 million a year directly and indirectly to the Maine economy. Close to two dozen camps in Maine have already decided not to open for the summer. Some that remain in limbo say demand is still strong.
Well, the camp has a full enrollment right now.
But in order to open, says Laura Ordway, the co-owner and director of Winona Camps in Bridgeton,
pretty much every aspect of camp will have to change. That is the one thing that is clear right now.
Ordway says the biggest challenges most camps face center around one of the hallmarks of the experience, closeness. Kids sit shoulder to shoulder at mealtimes and campfires. They sleep head to foot in tents and cabins. But Ordway says there is a potential workaround to both crowd limits and quarantine requirements.
We would have to have clear guidelines from the state that they would allow a residential summer camp to be cohorted as a large group, almost as in place of a single family home.
In other words, the camp would quarantine as a whole once campers arrive. Or maybe in smaller groups, says Andy Lilienthal. He's the owner and director of Camp Winnebago in Fayette. Lilienthal wonders if he could group staff and campers into cohorts of 50 or fewer.
So that we could have a group of 50 in a separate area of camp, and they could be working as a unit and not interact with the other campers or staff that would be in another area of camp.
It's a summer in which activities would likely be centered at camp. No special day trips to the tidal pools at Pemaquid Point or hikes on Mount Batty. And of course, there would be close monitoring of campers' health. Lilienthal acknowledges that even if he's able to, opening camp this summer is not a risk-free proposition.
And I'm not by nature a risky person. But at the same time, I do understand the importance of what an experience at camp can mean for a child, usually.
And from what he's hearing from parents, he says this season is especially important.
The general refrain for me is, please, God, let camp happen. I want you to take my child. They really need camp this summer.
The beacon has been camp.
Kelly Farrell of New York has a 16-year-old son who's ready to go to camp in Maine this summer. He's a junior in high school, and he's already lost his spring sports, dances, and other events.
It's just this light he's been looking forward to. It's providing him sort of inspiration and even the fortitude right now to go on. He's been home since March 12th. He hasn't left the house but to walk the dog or go for a run. And for him, camp is sort of what's keeping him going right now.
Kate Egan of Brunswick is also hoping her teenage son and daughter can go to camp. They've attended Slovensky camps for years, and her daughter is now a counselor. Egan says her kids talk about camp every day.
You know, with all the losses that they've kind of racked up over the year, losing camp would be one of the hardest.
Even if the experience this summer is different, says Egan. On Thursday, Governor Mills said in a news briefing that she can't make any promises, but her administration is trying to find a way for camps to open safely. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.